I just want you to look at your neighbor real quick and say, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. And you may be seated. Shake it off. Shake it off. You know, I have found something. If you've been around this church very long, you've heard a few old famous sayings that we have. And one of them is, hey, listen, it's hot and we're all sweating. What does that mean? That means when someone comes complaining to you about all their problems, it's like, listen, we're all going through some stuff. Don't think anybody's not going through something. We're all going through stuff because it's hot and we're all sweating. You know, I think about a few things and how spoiled we are in the day that we were born. God chose that you would be alive today. You weren't born 2,000 years ago. You were born right now. And God saw fit for that because he has a purpose and everything is beautiful in its time. So you were perfect in your time. God didn't mess up by putting you here now. And he gives you gifts and talents to be able to meet the challenges of the moment. That's why we pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thou... Come on. We know it, right? So what's the key? Lord, give me this day everything I need to handle it and to thrive in it and to shine in it and to be a blessing in it and to walk in the blessing and not the curse, to be an overcomer. Lord, to be alive and not dead, to come out of darkness and be in the light. Lord, give me my portion today. Yesterday's gone. Why are we still crying about yesterday? It's not here. Yesterday's gone. So here we are today. Now, sometimes what the enemy tries to do is leave a mark on you from yesterday that you'll never forget. So that way he can make you live yesterday every day. But I have found that God came and said, man, I'm doing a new thing. My God does a new thing. You know, I'm thinking, I see my guy back there. It's good to see you. Good to see you. I still got that picture you drew of the prayer chapel with the deer sitting there. I still got the picture you drew of Wenatchee, and we had the kids in Wenatchee draw on that. We made copies of that, and the kids drew on it. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad everybody's here today. Because I have a word from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle, may I? You have something to say? All right, then I'm going to go for it. Honey, how we doing?
Wonderful.
All right. Let's get down the road. We're going to look at some scriptures, and I want you to understand a couple things. Just because you are saved doesn't mean the enemy won't bite. You know, I think sometimes we think when you get saved, nothing bad happens anymore. And I'm telling you, as long as you live in a place where evil is present, bad stuff's happening around us all the time. But what God promised us is, even if the snake bites you, you will live. Right? So you're not known that you got bit. You're known that you got lived, that you lived. You made it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's the promise of God. Now, that means that there's some weapons out there trying to prosper against us. There's some things put in place. And, you know, sometimes we find that we got hit with them. Man, in my own shortcomings, in my own lust, I fell into something that bit me. But guess what? That doesn't stop my God. You know what? I got so mad and I made a mistake. Guess what? Will you choose God right now? Maybe you, in that moment you didn't. But safety, life, health, strength, eternity is based on what you decide today. What's your decision today? What's your decision today? Are you all in for Christ today? Maybe you didn't feel like you were yesterday, but today are you all in? All right, I'm gonna walk you through it then. Turn with me to Acts chapter 27. It's going to be a great place in Scripture. You're going to love it. Don't worry, we won't be here long. Some of you got Super Bowl wings in the oven right now. I know. We don't want to burn the wings. Because nobody likes burnt wings. So Acts chapter 27, we're going to read from verse 10 all the way to 26. Acts 27, starting at verse 10. Now, let me give you a little background of the story. The Apostle Paul, who used to be known as Saul, because he was one who was fighting the church, persecuting them, killing the Christians, and anywhere where they could find Christians, he was putting them in prison or having them stoned, because he was trying to stop the church before it could start. I just want you to know that you'll find Anytime God's going to start something in you, the devil's going to try to stop it before it can even start. He's going to try to stop it before it can even start. That's just the way of the enemy. It's a strategy that was being implemented back in the day, and it's still this day. And you will find everything God tries to start, the enemy will try to stop. Therefore, if you just got baptized a couple weeks ago, guess what? The devil is trying to tell you that didn't work and you're still just as dirty as you were before and nothing changed and you know it and he knows it. Why try? And I say the devil's a liar. Yeah. He's a liar. Yeah. And so God will tell us to do things. He'll direct our path, and we find out that as you go God's way, not everything runs perfect as you would think. Come on. But perfection is in seeing God make you an overcomer among all things. Yeah. That's perfection, right? Yeah. So here's Paul, and now he is serving the church. He's serving God. He's an apostle. He's going and preaching the gospel. And for preaching the gospel, those that he used to work with turn on him and hate him. You will find people will turn on you when you stand for the Lord. People that used to be on your side will not be on your side. Now, not everybody. There's some people that will join your side with you. But not everybody's going to go the way of the Lord. And so as Paul begins to go the way of the Lord, he gets thrown into prison. And as they are putting him in prison, they send him from one place to another to meet different leaders and rulers to judge his case. And he is now a prisoner. He's God's man, but he's a prisoner being taken as a prisoner on a boat to a place to get judged. Well, that sounds lousy, doesn't it? Can you imagine? Not only are you a prisoner, but you know the boat you're on is just taking you to judgment. You know, I think some people feel like the grave is they're just living a life that's on a boat waiting for judgment. And they're not looking forward to it. But I want you to know the body of Christ is the new Ark of the Covenant. It's the new boat that we're on. And everybody in the body of Christ, we fear no evil. We're not afraid of death. Because the judgment that's coming at the end of the world is really our inheritance. God's going to find you fit to receive your inheritance in full. So we look forward, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, we're not rushing it by any means, but we're not afraid of it either. So the Apostle Paul's in a situation that's not fair. He is being accused of doing wrong for doing the will of the Lord. The Bible says all that will live godly must suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution if you stand for the things of the Lord. Jesus told his disciples, if they hated me and you're my disciples doing what I tell you to do, what do you think they're going to do to you? You know, I know that there's a lot of prejudice in the world. I know there's a lot of things going on. But I have found not only being a minority, but also being a pastor, the greatest prejudice I ever face is for being one of God's people, not for the color of my skin. The greatest prejudice that comes my way, because it comes from all people. It comes from all colors, all creeds. Anyone who doesn't stand with God, man, they want me to let them shout for joy for what they believe, but they want me to shut up, otherwise they're going to turn me in for talking on the job, you know? Like, they don't want me to say nothing. It's amazing how that, you know, they want to be able to have a day that's special for them, but they don't want it for me. And so if I stand up for me and my God, someone's going to talk about me. So I'm always in a position to be talked about. And don't make a mistake and you're supposed to be a Christian. Oh, my goodness. Do not make a mistake. Because then, for sure, you're the devil. I mean, for sure, you're the devil. You're not a person who made a mistake and is leaning on the everlasting arms of the Lord. You're a person that deserves the reason the pit was created. You know, it's like, you are the source of all evil. And it's amazing how quickly people can get public opinion to want to mob you. Man, you can get a movement on the internet to bring anybody down. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. So Paul's in a situation where people don't like him. They're mad at him. And he's being judged for something that, in this case, he was innocent of. We're usually guilty of the stuff we're being judged for. But God is still faithful. Anybody ever made a mistake? The Bible says this about all of us. All of us have come short of the glory of God. None of us. And the Bible says if any says they have no sin, they are a liar, and the truth isn't in them. That's just what my Lord said. But he said, praise the Lord, all who need a physician, he will heal them. Anybody that needs help, he will deliver them. Anybody that needs forgiveness, He will give it to them. So we don't go around acting like we've never made a mistake. Man, I look at some of the people that are judging other people and think, how could you? I mean, unless you're standing in the perfection of the, like you were born the Christ yourself, how are you judging in the way you're judging? How are you doing that? How do you feel justified standing so strong, speaking so evil against someone else? I'm telling you. And as a pastor, you got to be careful because sometimes you feel like you pray more than other people. And you probably do. But guess what? I need the same blood you need. I need the same grace you need. I need the same spirit of resurrection you need. There's no shortcut. There's no pastor trick that we can trick ourselves in. No. Matter of fact, I have a responsibility that my mistakes get amplified. You know what I mean? My mistakes really cost a lot. I heard the apostle say one time that he found that if he makes a mistake, he can't lay in pity for one day. That's too much time. A day is too much time for an apostle to give the devil to work. So you have to very quickly repent, Lord, and get right back on track. Because you don't leave the door open for a day away from the blood, as Ernest said, outside of what God has for you. The devil can take a day and turn it into an eternity, it seems, you know? And so you have to learn to very quickly get right back. You know, every good cowboy knows, get back in the saddle. Get back on that horse. Get back on your feet. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, but this is what he's known for, but he gets up every time. Get up! Shake it loose! Shake it off. So today's message is called, Shake It Off. Verse 10, Acts chapter 27, it reads like this. He said to them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the landing of the ship, but also of our lives. This is the Apostle Paul. He's on a boat with a bunch of sailors. And he's telling them, hey, I got a word for you from the Lord. I'd like to share it with you. This voyage we're on is doomed. We're not doing it right. Now, he's not the captain of the ship. But yet, he has a word from the captain of the universe. And people have to understand that. You know, when Peter was fishing, he's trying to tell Jesus, you don't understand fishing, Peter, our Jesus. We've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there today. Sometimes we try to tell God as if he's not the captain of the vessel in which we're on. The life that we're living. He's the captain of the ship. You have to understand. But here is Paul telling them, sirs, and he did it in a real nice way, I perceive that great damage is coming not only to the ship, but to the people on the ship. If you keep sailing the way you're sailing. Let's read on. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Whew. I have found as a pastor where I have to give an account for people's souls. Oftentimes, they agree with their fortune. They read in the paper, oh, I am a Sagittarius. Today, this is what it says about. They believe those words more than the words of their pastor who has to give a blood account for them. Person who's praying over them and God's giving them words and saying, this is what the captain is saying for everybody on the ship. And I think it's been quite clear starting this year, some of the things that have been said, what is going on and what the conditions are. And what we need to do. Have we not been pretty clear? I think we've been pretty clear. I think the word of God has been pretty spot on. And so, you have to think, the words you hear today, are you going to actually change direction? Do whatever the word says to be positioned for the success of what the word of God says to you? Because a lot of people hear the word, but they're not a doer of the word. They hear it and say, that was awesome, and they keep sailing right the same direction. That was an awesome word. They talk about it while they're sailing. Man, wasn't that a beautiful, and that worship off the hook. Oh, yeah, and they all talk, you know. But they keep sailing the same direction. Nothing changes. Did you hear the drums? Did you hear the drums today? Did you feel the drums? Well, if you want, you can sing that song right into things you're not supposed to go into. You have to change direction sometimes when God speaks. Because every word of God is to protect you, not to curse. He's trying to bless us. He's trying to help us. He's the master. He's the captain. He's the owner. But yet sometimes we listen to people more than we listen to the word of God. And so I want you to decide, am I more like Paul or am I more like the people on the boat going along for the ride, seeing what happens? You ever been on a ride that you couldn't steer? I remember one time I got in the car with somebody, I'm not going to name any names. But as we were driving and they wouldn't listen to my request for slowing down and quit the playing, I remember thinking in my mind, when we stop, I'll never get in the car with this person again. You ever been in a situation like that? Because you can't steer the ship. You're along for the ride, but you perceive at some point, this voyage is not going well. I need to get off of this boat. You know, and some of us know what that is. Some of us know right now the car you need to get out of. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. Some of us know right now there's some things I need to get out of. I know it. But this, after they play my song, I'm going to get out. It's like it's coming eventually. I'm going to get out of it. I'm not going to do this forever. Listen, the devil's going to try to take a picture of you on that day and post it on Facebook and say, this is just who you are. They're going to try to take a bad picture and a bad time, and you're going to be trying to explain. But really, I was getting ready to get out. But they got the picture while you were in, you know. I was giving a wedding last year, and we were on the shores of Maui. Every wedding should be in Maui. I'm not sure if you know that, but it was incredible. Sun was setting. We were on the beach. The waves were coming up, and God just showed me something. It wasn't their first marriage. It was their second marriage for both of them. And God was showing me something, and I just was so thankful. As they were walking up, and they came from around the corner, and here they come walking up on the beach, and the waves were coming in, and the waves were getting pretty close to where the wedding was. And their footsteps disappeared when the waves came in. So you could see their footsteps, but a wave came, and then you couldn't see their footsteps anymore. And God was letting me know, that's how my grace is for you. I'm constantly bringing in a new wave to your footsteps from yesterday aren't seen anymore. What are you going to do now with a new wave? Are you going to take advantage of the new opportunity? And it feels good to look back and not see all of your past trailing you. You know what I mean? And God wants to know, it's no longer about your footsteps from behind you. It's all about the new ones you're going to make. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? I'm trying to encourage you. This is going to be a powerful message, but I need you to see how important it is. No matter how good the message is, what you do with it will determine how it goes. What you do with the message. So they didn't really listen to Paul, it says. Verse 12 goes on. And because the haven was not commodious to the winter, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means that they might attain Phoenice, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth towards the southwest and the northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. So they looked around and said, I hear what Paul's saying, but it looks like it's going to be fine. And we don't want to get stuck here and be here too long because we don't want to do winter here. This isn't a good place to do winter. So let's go before winter comes. And we looked way off and the wind was soft. And so they pushed out. Some of us have used our sight to sail right into problems. It looks fine. It looks okay. Even though the word already told me, you don't want to go that way. Right? I've gone down that road many times. God spoke to me and I knew it, but I looked and I didn't see no police. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't see a problem. And so I went in. Because it looked okay. Listen, none of us would speed if we saw the police, or you know it. If you saw them there, you would have slowed down. Uh-oh. Verse 14 doesn't look good. But not long after there arose against them a tempest called Euryclidon. Now, imagine this. Have you heard of us name storms before? You know when you have to name a storm, it's bad. Is that right? How many people have been displaced by names like Katrina? It rocked their whole life. And still rocking, you know, still not back on where they should be. You know, like, it's still, why? Because some of these storms, there's storms, and then there's certain storms you have to name. You know, like some people go back, yay, listen, there was the storm of 42. And all that participated in that storm said, oh my goodness. They remember it, right? Well, there's certain storms that hit not only our physical regions, but there are spiritual storms that hits the entire world. We're all in the world are facing a wind and a man. And when you name it, it's almost as if it's a working, purposed, thinking, functioning entity. And I want you to know that spiritual storms aren't just wind blowing hard. They're actually, it's a movement to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. Yes. It's on purpose, and there is a purpose to it. And sometimes we have to recognize this is no time to play. We need to fortify our homes and our lives and ourselves to be ready, because there is something coming, and we recognize it. We recognize it. So this year, if you're in the choir, praise and worship, or band, you've heard me say many times, the devil's trying to steal the year before it started. He's trying to take it. He's trying to take 2018 already. And for some of us, we already feel like he took it. It's already, you know, because bad things happen, things I didn't want, hurts hurt me, situations came up, the year's already taken. This year will be known as, and we're going to name it by the problem. We're going to give it a name. That was the storm of 2018, you know. That was the situation. And what we're going to remember is the name of the storm and not the name of the Lord. Amen. So they had to name the storm because it was pretty bad. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind, we let her drive. Man, when you ever get in a situation where you just let go of the wheel and just let something else drive, you just let it take you. You just let it go where it wants to go. And you're thinking mercy, but that wind has no mercy in it. You've let go and are just hoping something good's going to happen at the mercy of something that is dark. And you're just hoping it works out. You ever been in a situation where all you did is hope it worked out? And you know, the Bible says there's a hope by faith. But I want you to know, hoping it works out is different than having hope in Jesus Christ. Hoping it works out is different than listening to the Word of God. You don't go where God told you not to go and hope it works out. Pastor, are you being tough? I'm getting there. I'm trying to get tough. Am I not? Why? Because this storm that we're in has a name to it. You got to be tough. Those that can do, they sure will. Those that can't, let her drive. They just let her drive. And so their life ends up wherever it's on the shores of wherever they land. I don't want to end up on the shores of wherever I land. I want to go somewhere on purpose. I want to be on purpose. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to go away. There's a road. There's a path. And God is leading us on a way. Very specific. It's not general. It's not just showing up on some shore somewhere. No, we're going to a city and to a place on purpose, where God has already set things in order for us. There's houses we haven't built. There's things we haven't seen. And we are going to enjoy them because we are headed that way. And no storm is going to stop us. Amen. So I'm encouraging you. By the end of this, man, you're going to know that your belt is tightened. pull those pants up. Apostle always says, listen, when he said, if the devil ever whips your behind, he said, pull your pants back up and tighten your belt. What does that mean? That means after you've done all you can to stand, stand. But I already tried. Stand. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Some of us have relapsed this year, and the devil's trying to tell you that's who you are. He's trying to name you by the storm. He's trying to name you by the thing. He's trying to name you by the wind. He's trying to name you by the dark thing. And I'm trying to say God wants you to be named as one of his. But if you don't see that, who else will? That's pretty good. Ultimately, they crash on an island that they weren't planning to go to. Let's drop to chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called... Anybody been to this island? Anybody been to the Greek islands? The place they were landing had a name too. Melita. Sometimes when you look into names, you start finding out what they mean. You're surprised where you're at. I didn't know I was on the shores of safety and blessing. I thought I was pushed here by a wind that I didn't like. Sometimes you have to know that God will sometimes position you to be in the house of bread when you go to Bethlehem. But you didn't know it was the house of bread. Well, the bread of life was born there, so it's called the house of bread, Bethlehem. There's names and there's meanings, and in the old days, a name had something to it. So if you said your name's Brandon, you would say, hello, my name's Brandon. That means beacon of light, and my father's name is Jesse. You would know who you were, where you came from, and what you're about, because when they named you, they gave you a prophecy. You shall shine, beacon of light. And so there's meaning in names. And so when you say words and names, they say sticks and stones and break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Names can determine your future. What are you talking about? And so that's why you got to be careful what you let people call you. Now, you can't stop everybody from calling you what they're going to call you, but you don't have to answer to every one of those names. The name you answer to is the name you identify with. Right? So if I'm walking down the street and they say, hey, so-and-so, I don't even assume they're talking about me. So it does not hurt my feelings. Verse 2, and the barbarous people, the barbarians, they showed us no little kindness. Now they get there, and we think of barbarians as what? Horrible people, don't we? Like, barbarians. You're so barbaric. But these barbarians showed them no little kindness. That means their hospitality was above and beyond what they could have asked for. You ever been in a situation and came upon someone you didn't know that showed you hospitality right in a moment where you needed it? Showed you a little help, kindness, friendship, encouragement? Isn't it amazing that you can be that person every day if you want to? You can be the one that they talk to. I was in a situation, I ended up, and I met this person at 7-Eleven. I bumped into a person over here. I was in this situation. Why? Because we're beacons of light. So we should be known for no little hospitality. I'm going to get down to it. We're getting there. We're gonna get excited in a minute. We're going to go back to Can't Stop, probably. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. So when they landed, what were the conditions? Cold, wet, lousy. Some of us wake up in the morning, we look out the window, and we say, yep, another one of these. Is it, you know? And that darn groundhog declared 6 more weeks. He saw a shadow. So that means we got 6 more weeks of it, right? Okay. Isn't it amazing? We let that groundhog really hurt our feelings, you know? Like, man, it's 6 more weeks. Why? The groundhog saw a shadow. It's like, who are you listening to? We let everything prophesy to us. I got nothing against the groundhog. They taste really good. They're really good. You barbarians. You. So they showed us no great kindness. They started a fire for us. And I love this about Paul. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man's a murderer, whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffers not to live." Oh, so they're saying, you know what? This is karma. That's what they're saying. This is karma. The murderer has bad karma. He crashed, and that's what he's getting. You know, I heard somebody say something the other day. Some of the leaders of the nation were on a train, and it crashed. And I heard a lot of people saying, mm-hmm, yeah. And it's like, you know what? That means everything that doesn't go just how you want it to go, it's just karma. You know, but we name that to people. We say it so easy. It becomes so normal. Karma. Well, what's karma? Who is karma? I never met her. I take that back. I went to a senior ball with Karma Wick in 1992. Real nice girl. I went, you know? But who is karma? And we're saying that karma did the... What we're naming is there's an entity that's working, and her name is karma, and she is the one that gives you your lot. It's like, who? Have you met her? Does she bow to Jesus? Does she bow to Jesus? Now, don't get me wrong. I think the principle of karma, there's something... You know, listen, if you sow good things, you'll receive good. I believe in that, but karma ain't giving it to me. Listen. Why? I trust the word of God more than I trust karma. Because you know what? Karma doesn't take in consideration the blood of Jesus. If we all got what we deserved, then we would all meet in the pit once again. But I'm going to get what I didn't earn, but I received, and it's called grace. I'm going to get it. One of the things I want to show you, if you've ever been in a bad situation, you've ever had things not go how you want it to go, you ever just been really rocked, whether in your personal life, in your family, situations come up, and man, they're hard. But one thing I really like about Paul, it says that as they were making a fire, other people were there trying to help, but he didn't just sit there and complain about the cold. Some people go through stuff, and other people are making a fire for them, and all they can do is complain. I can't believe we wrecked. Oh my gosh, I'm so cold. Listen, help with the fire. Help get some wood. Do something. Do something. And so I love that about Paul. Paul was an apostle of God. And guess what he did? He started going working, just like everybody else. He started doing it. He wasn't too big to help. And he wasn't so caught up in complaining that he couldn't see the generosity of the people around him. And so he recognized, wow, look how nice these barbarians are. What a wonderful fire. Here's some wood that I can help. And he found a way to help. I heard somebody say it. Don't sit in the pew so long that you don't help. Get to working. Do something in the church and in the body of Christ. Do something. Grab a stick. Grab a stick. Don't hit nobody with it, but grab a stick. Do something. That was good, Leroy. I'm going to... Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, do something. I was going to read another scripture, but it just reminded me again of something that happened to me. So me and Kara going to have our first baby boy. And we're in the hospital, and her pain has been happening at this point for days. And we're at the hospital, and she's in pain. I'll say that like that. And I'm sitting there and right there, and I'm falling asleep between contractions. And, what happened? Who? And then one time she looked over at me, and she looked at me like, "You useless, no good." And she said, "Do something." And every thought in my mind, okay, what can I possibly do here? What could, you know, it's like, saying something's probably not the right thing right now. You know, should I leave? I'm really trying to think. And so all I could do is rub her hand. That's all I got, but I'm going to do something. Because I don't know how to help you. And I know it hurts, and I know you're going through it, but I'm here. All I can do is be here and rub your hand. Let you know I'm connected. Sometimes, just letting someone know you're there and you're connected for them. You can't fix everything sometimes yourself like you would like to, but you can still be there and still, you don't. Sometimes you don't even have to speak, but you're there. And that means a lot. That means a lot. You ever had someone just there? I'm thankful. I've had some people not there, and I've had some people there. So Paul does something wonderful. He gets working to help his situation. One of the questions I'll ask for you, sure, a storm came, but tell me what you're doing right now to help the situation. Tell me the actions you're taking right now. Tell me exactly what you're doing. And if you don't know the whole plan of how to get off the island, first thing you need is a fire. Just tell me the first step. Do something. And some of you being here today was that first something. You know what? I didn't feel like coming. I got up. I washed my face and said, "I command my soul to bless the Lord." You have to see that as a great step. Sometimes people don't know the push it took just to get here, just to stand and be present. And so I honor you for that first step. Don't let the devil say you didn't take a step. You did take a step. You did take a step. Because right now you're hearing the word of God and you're positioned to hear it and you're getting blessed by it, but you had to make a move to do it. I honor that. That's great. And now we're going to take more steps. But I want you to know, right after the great storm that had its own name came against them, God already told them, don't go that way. They went that way. They crashed. I don't hear Paul one time complain, "I told them nobody would listen to me." He never says that. Why? Because that's already gone. This is the new circumstances. We're on an island. There's barbarians and a snake just bit me. This is the new circumstance. You have to learn to let stuff go and get into the right now situation and be present. Be present. Russell, yeah, you threw a pick. We need a touchdown next time. We need you to forget about it. Throw it. So what do you have to do? You have to learn to shake it off. Imagine, after all this, it wasn't even his own doing. They're on an island. He's just trying to help. And in his helping, he gets bit. See, that's why I didn't want to go to church. That's exactly why. I knew it. You know what I mean? We have these things. But you know what Paul did? He just shook it off. He shook it into the fire. I want you to know, the closer you get to the fire of God, the more vipers jump out. The closer you get to the glory of God, the more vipers are coming out. So that means, if for 20 years you've had this box and it's never done anything wrong, you start bringing it closer to the glory that it's never been close to before, you might be shocked to find out that you've had a 20-year-old snake with you this whole time. But you didn't know it until you got close to the fire. Why? Because it was dormant. Did you know they have diseases that can sit dormant and quiet and then something spark it and wake it up and it comes out and bites with venom? Do you know that there's... I want you to know spiritually there are some vipers that sometimes can sit quietly for a long time. You hear crazy stories about people finding pythons in their bathroom. It's like, what? Don't worry, it's nowhere in Washington. It's far away. But you find out about it. It's like, how did that thing live and get that big and go undetected? Why? Because it never showed itself yet. And now it's saying hello. I want you to know there are things in our life, if we're going to get closer to the fire and the glory of God, some stuff's going to jump out. Some situations are going to come up. Some accusations are going to come out. Some circumstances are going to happen. The devil's going to resist. The devil's going to fight. But praise ye the Lord. Shake it off. Shake it off. Let's see what Paul has to say about this. Verse 5. Now, all these people are talking about him. He's a murderer, definitely a murderer, because look what happened. Verse 5. What'd he do? He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. What did he say? What did he say? What did Paul say? What did Paul say? What did Paul say? You don't have to make it up. What did Paul say? Nothing! You don't have to make it up, Murray. Paul said that we try to come up with stuff. He didn't say nothing. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. Not even worth saying something. Shake it off. Just real quick, in the fire, done. Shake it off. Just shake it off. I want you to know, here's what God was telling me, and I'm bringing this word. Some of us have gotten bit this year. And God is just saying, don't even talk, just shake it off. Don't even concentrate on it. Don't even worry about it. Don't even put thought into it. Don't meditate on how it felt. Don't meditate on how it looked. Don't meditate on what they said. Don't meditate on anything except shaking it off. Just shake it off. Shake it off. This is the testimony of what God said. Jesus put it like this. These signs shall follow those who believe. They're going to get bit and no harm's going to come to them. What does that mean? Yeah, Jesus, no, you got bit. Yeah, but he already gave you power to shake it off. It's not going to take you out unless you put your confidence in it. If you know, you can make venom worse. What's one of the worst things you can do? Okay, you're 5 miles out of town. And you run, they say, is the worst thing you can do if you get bit by a snake. Why? Because all you do is let it go through your whole body faster. Because you start pumping it. Worry, anxiety pumps your blood faster. And I want you to know, when you can learn to just shake stuff off and stay calm, the Bible says be full of worry and concern over nothing, but in all things in prayer with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard and protect both your heart and your mind. But if you take off running, man, the blood goes down to your toe, to your head, in your fingers, and it's now just consumed. Every part of that venom is in you now. If you're going to run to the altar. Run to the glory. I just want us to really see the picture. Yeah, there's storms. Yeah, it might have hit your house. Yeah, it might have hit your body. Yeah, you felt like you're finally recovering and another wave hit you. I want you to know, God is trying to let you see the glory of the Lord. He wants you to recognize, you know what? The fire of God is greater than the venom of a devil. And even in my own mistakes, Lord, I should not have gone out there. I got bit in a place that wasn't the church. I got bit when I wasn't helping the fire. I got bit when I was doing the wrong things. Guess what? Who are you going to call? The tempest? What name are you going to declare? The viper? It's a diamondback. Can you imagine instead saying, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's how you have to shake it off. In Moses' day, children of Israel started sinning against the Lord, complaining, and all these snakes and vipers started to bite them. And I saw on Earth Part 2 yesterday on Netflix, I saw the island where those snakes were. Did we not, Travis? Just go back and watch Earth 2, where it's just nature shows, and there's these snakes on this one island. That's what the people were getting bit with. I'm convinced of it. They came out of every crevice and every place. I couldn't believe it was the island of the viper. It was just horrible. But the children of Israel started getting bit. And so they went to Moses and said, pray that God will forgive us and get rid of these snakes. So Moses goes before the Lord. Why? Because we need to have someone concentrating on him and not the problems. We need someone connected to the answer and not the venom. We need somebody tapped into the help and not all the conditions. So they went to Moses, who was connected with the Lord. And the Lord told Moses, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make a brazen serpent out of bronze, and you're going to put it at the center of camp. I'm not going to get rid of the snakes. Now the people this was their prayer request. Lord, get rid of the snakes. Lord, get rid of all my problems. Lord, get rid of all my circumstances. Lord, get rid of all of this. And the Lord says, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise something up in the center of camp. And no matter where you're at, if you get bit, as long as you can put your eyes on what's at the center of camp, it will not hurt you. And we know ultimately Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent in the center of town, if I be lifted up, I can draw all men to me. The glory of God is shining. So Jesus and the cross was being represented by that brazen serpent. And they put him in the center of the camp, the center of the church. And so you never live your life so far out that you can't see him. And so you don't go so far from camp that you can't look back and see the center of camp. God doesn't take away all the vipers, but he gives you viper protection that even if they bite you, if you can look at truth and glory, if you can look at life and help and strength, if you can call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So yes, the enemy is as a roaring lion. Yes, he's a viper. Yes, he's trying to put venom in us. Yes, he's fighting against us. Yes, you might have got bit. That's the reality. It's true. I'm not trying to say it's not true. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. You know what? You're not going to be known because you got bit. You're going to be known because you shook it off. Isn't that a nice way to be known? Because guess what happens after? Well, let's just read. Verse 6. Howbeit, let's read it together. I like that. Ready, read. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a little G. Not the big G. Don't get all proud now. You know what I mean? Like, easy. Can't stop praising his name. Don't start putting your name. Lil G. But they changed their mind. I want you to know God's trying to help you change some minds. God wants the church to help change some minds. God wants your viper to change some minds. So actually, that viper will work for you. He's going to help change some minds. When you shake him off and you keep going about your father's business, when you don't return and retaliate and try to bite it back, complain about all the cold and all the problems, but you just get about what you're doing, you can change some people's minds. I'm telling you what, Apostle Rainwater, he changed his family's mind. Not by preaching to us every day he came home from work, because he was the first one to really start living for the Lord in our home. I remember when nobody went to church in my house. I remember when it looked like the whole house was falling apart. I remember it looked like nobody was going to make it into a good life going forward or a good future. I remember when the people were talking about each other within the old family. I remember when it was ugly and hurtful and sometimes you didn't even want to go home. I remember when it wasn't right, and that's when he started serving the Lord. And I remember watching him like the barbarians. And I remember thinking, this ain't going to last long. But guess what? In the middle of all those problems, through tears, he shook it off. And now he changed the minds where I look around and I see my mother next to him. I'm here. My sister's here. My brother's here. My other brother's preaching in Enumclaw right now. Why? Our minds got changed because someone shook it off. I want you to know, your problem is your biggest opportunity. So what's your problem? What's your problem? Because I'm not worried about it, but if you can put a name to your problem, I can put a name to your answer. What's the name of your storm? What's the name of your situation?